Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. This is the season of the witch. So with Halloween coming up, I wanted to do something special, as I had mentioned in the little teaser, and really kind of wanted to focus on horror. Now, I love horror movies. I know that it's probably outside of the Western and crime movies, it's the one that I've talked about the most over the time period that I've been doing this podcast. But I kind of wanted to do something special and pick some different topics related to horror, and also kind of go a little bit through the history of horror movies over the last 100 years, and kind of just cherry pick movies that I like or that I think they're important, because some movies I'm going to talk about I don't like. But today will be our first day, and today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite horror directors, and someone that I think is somewhat controversial in the world of horror, mainly having to do with his impact on the genre, and also his outspokenness about how good he is as a movie director, and that is Eli Roth. Eli Roth burst onto the scene in 2002 with one of the strangest horror movies ever, and that was Cabin Fever. Cabin Fever, I think, really kind of gives you an idea of what to expect in an Eli Roth movie. Like any one of his movies, you can really see that this is someone that is steeped in horror, has a lot of love for horror movies, and is very adept at kind of taking stuff from other movies, kind of using homage to kind of a ridiculous extent in a lot of his movies. And like I said, someone that has just a lot of knowledge, as you know, we kind of see him progress through movies. So speaking of Eli Roth, and just kind of going back, I kind of, with each episode, I want to highlight at least 5 movies, and maybe more depending on what the topic is. But with Roth, you know, he really has only done, 4 movies that are straight up horror, and one that's on the fringes of horror, more of a thriller. So those are the movies that we're going to be talking about today. So as I said, in 2002, Cabin Fever kind of helped introduce the world to Eli Roth, and this was a movie that basically kind of took the premise of something of like Land of the Living Dead and converted it more into kind of a body horror movie, which is interesting. So we don't have zombies necessarily in this movie, but there's a lot of stuff taken from it, or taken from zombie movies, specifically the Romero zombie movies, kind of used in this. And this, the straight up ending is basically a play on Romero's Night of the Living Dead. And in itself, I mean, the fact that you have a cabin in the woods, and that itself is probably a playoff of Evil Dead. Like I mentioned, you know, Eli Roth is someone where you can really see, he's wearing his influences on his sleeve. You can see them right away. And you also have a lot of weird, trippy shit in this movie. I mean, there's a scene where a kid does kung fu for no fucking reason and then bites somebody. Just because Eli Roth himself shows up as a stoner guy who we find later on gets basically decapitated by a dog. There's just a lot of random shit. But in this movie, we basically follow this group of college students, including Ryder Strong, who was on Boy Meets World, probably the thing that he was known best for, along with some other people. And honestly, I don't even remember who was in this movie, but it doesn't matter. This movie's a blast. It's a lot of fun to just kind of just watch the craziness that unfolds. But this group of college kids end up in this cabin in this remote town, and unbeknownst to them, they're drinking contaminated water that has a flesh-eating virus in it. So little by little, they start to succumb to the virus, and they start kind of going crazy as they realize that they're slowly dying. One of the characters is basically like, fuck all of you, I'm only going to drink beer, and I'm going to hang out in this cave away from everybody else, which in a way kind of makes him the smartest character in the movie, but at the same time, he's a fucking asshole, so when he dies, you don't really care. As a matter of fact, you probably cheer it. As I mentioned, there's also a rabid dog running around killing people in this movie. This also has probably one of the nastiest sex scenes ever, wherein you know, this one of the couples having sex, and as the camera pans out, you see that one of the girls, her skin is falling off, and And in a stroke of genius, question mark, afterwards, after having sex, one of the guys disinfects his penis with Lysol, which, or Listerine, I should say, probably not going to work when you have a flesh-eating virus. This movie has a lot of humor in it as well, and I think at this time period in 2002, we're kind of seeing, like, the 90s, outside of Scream and some other notable movies, was kind of like this weird period of transition for horror. The 2000s really kind of show people really going for it, and I think Eli Roth is one of those people that was able to kind of help with that transition, along with lots of other people, not just himself. Like, he wasn't the one that did it himself, but along with, like, James Wan and David Asia and a lot of other people. But he was one of those first early voices. This movie, I mean, was interesting. I don't really think it made a whole ton of money, but it made enough money for Eli Roth to kind of be able to transition to Hollywood and to set up his next project, the project that ended up getting catching the eye of Quentin Tarantino, and that movie was Hostel. Hostel is this great, nasty piece of work. I liken Hostel and its sequel, Hostel Part 2, as these really dark comedies. I definitely argue that's what they are, although I don't think that was Eli Roth's intention. But, I mean, once again, with this, something that kind of Eli Roth in general, I think he loves to pepper humor throughout his movies. Well, going back to Cabin Fever, so I mentioned that guy that ended up in the cave drinking beer. He's able to survive, but just like in the end of Night of the Living Dead, he gets shot to pieces. And of course, Ryder Strong ends up lying in a ditch that goes to a water distribution center, so everyone in the town and ostensibly in America will end up getting this flesh-eating virus, because, well, why not have an apocalyptic ending to your movie? But as I said, so Eli Roth got a lot of clout from that movie and led to Hostel, and Hostel was a game changer. Like, literally, like, this movie, along with Saw, and probably like High Tension and a couple of others, really cemented a new quote unquote subgenre of horror, which was torture porn. I know Eli Roth himself, who is a tireless self-promoter, which part of the reason that people, I think, don't really like him, because he's very full of himself. I mean, the guy's a good director and everything, and he's got some interesting ideas, but it's good to have a healthy ego, I guess, but it rubs some people the wrong way. Regardless, I know that Eli Roth himself has said he doesn't really like the torture porn moniker, but Hostel is, I think, It's a movie where it kind of lulls you into thinking it actually might not be a horror movie, because you end up following Jay Hernandez along with a couple of his asshole American friends and a guy Oli, who it's Jay Hernandez and his American friend, and so the guy Oli, who basically are backpacking through Eastern Europe and trying to do whatever they can to have fun and not really care about the consequences. They end up meeting these girls who tell them about, like, this great place to go party at. And little by little, some of the characters start missing. And by the end of it, Jay Hernandez, who plays a wonderful asshole in Paxton, ends up being our lead as Oli and his friend Josh are captured and tortured and killed in this hostel that they're staying at, which is actually a front for a corporation that goes around kidnapping people and then selling them basically to be tortured and killed by other people. Which is something that at the time I was like, you know what? I really wouldn't be surprised if this is something that's real. And in the state of the world today, I believe that more so. I would not at all be surprised if there's places in, I don't know, maybe not Eastern Europe, but there's places in the world where for the right amount of money, you'd be able to pay to kill somebody. Hostel itself, once it gets going, is really one of the nastiest, most graphic horror movies. I mean, this is a movie in which in order to save one of the girls, Paxton has to, like, cut this girl's eye off after she's had a blowtorch taken to her face when she sees the, because her eye's like basically bugging out. And when she sees this, this girl jumps in front of a train and commits suicide. We have people getting decapitated and people getting tortured. There's there's a Dutch businessman who shows up throughout the movie, and you think it's just coincidentally just showing up where they're at, but it turns out that he's kind of checking up on the people that he's paid to kill. And there's this scene where he's torturing, I believe it's Josh, and he talks about how, like, oh, you know, my dream was always to be a physician. I wanted to be a doctor, but look at my hands. And his hands are shaking worse than a drunk coming off the DTs. And, you know, little by little, he starts killing people. Paxton ends up trying to figure out that something strange is going on, and he ends up making one of the girls take him to go see what's happening. And he ends up at this place where they're torturing everybody, and of course he himself ends up getting tortured. I believe he gets some fingers chopped off, and through some happenstance is able to escape. He meets up with this Dutch businessman and he slits the guy's throat. This movie is nasty. This movie it's really, really great. If you, this is going to sound fucked up, and don't judge me, but if you're the kind of person that enjoys watching just fucked up shit happen to people, Hostel is definitely worth checking out. Hostel was really the movie that cemented Eli Roth, and I think basically on that movie alone, he's been able to kind of get funding for anything else. I mean, Hostel itself was so popular that it ended up leading to a sequel, Hostel Part 2. And Hostel Part 2 is a movie that isn't as successful in what it's trying to do in Hostel Part 1. I know Eli Roth, once again, like as I mentioned, he's this shameless self-promoter, so he talked about how like the negative reviews really affected it, and like afterwards he kind of talked about just maybe the fact that instead of following these three guys backpacking through, we're following three women, that people just weren't really into it, which is interesting considering that there's so many, many horror movies where the, you know, the final girl, there's the lead are the women. Regardless, like, as I said, this movie, at least I can say it's different, and maybe that's probably the reason people didn't like it, because it instead of kind of following that template of Hostel Part 1, we end up following not only this group of three American girls played by Lauren German, Bijou Phillips, and Heather Matarazzo. We also follow a couple of men who have also kind of bought into buying, which I believe are Richard Burgi and Roger Bart, who they've paid to kill someone. So we kind of follow this parallel story of these girls and these men. They kind of up the stakes in this movie as well. I mean, Heather Matarazzo herself, like if I remember correctly, her death is based on the historical accounts of the torture of Helen Battery and how she used to bathe in the blood of virgins, which is interesting. And I mean, I remember seeing this in the movie and thinking, huh, that's really cool. That's really interesting that they base this on a historical thing. And then thinking, is that really what I should be thinking about in a horror movie? Regardless, you know, it's done really well. It's this movie is insane in the parts that it does kind of just delve into the nastiness of this movie. And I think part of it too is this movie kind of is making you think that, like, these guys, like, one of them's, like, this alpha male, like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want to kill people, and the other guy's, like, oh, I don't know about this, and then when they have the chance of killing people, the guy who's all up about it, he starts to torture a girl, and he's, like, oh, I can't do this, and, of course, he gets killed, because it's either kill or be killed. Lauren German ends up being the last girl, and if I remember correctly, like I said, Roger Bart's character, Stuart, who has been squeamish about killing her this whole time, now is like, you know, I love my wife, but sometimes I just want to fucking kill her, and you look just like my wife, and I'm going to kill you. Of course, Lauren German's character, Beth, she's able to escape, and as it's kind of mentioned throughout the movie, she is independently wealthy, so she is able to kind of pay her way out, and she ends up killing Stuart by ripping his nuts and his dick off and feeding them to a dog, which, I laughed wholeheartedly at that because, I mean, come on, man, where the hell else are you going to see something like that? But I know a lot of people were rather turned off by that. I mean, this movie also starts off very famously with Paxton coming home and then his girlfriend played by Jordan Lang going upstairs and then coming downstairs the following day and finding his body still at the dinner table with his head cut off. We also have in this movie, after Beth escapes, she kills, she decapitates the girl that kind of led them to her and her friends to their doom. And we have a bunch of kids basically playing soccer with a severed head. This movie, it's a blast if you like this type of movie. But once again, I can see why people didn't care for it. And I remember telling a friend of mine about this, how I remember I was either reading an interview or watching an interview with Eli Roth where they were asking about the failure of this movie. And he mentioned that, you know, maybe he should have gone with his other idea of Hostel Part 2, wherein you just follow these three girls on vacation for 90 minutes and everything is great. Nothing really happens. And then as the movie is about to end, a dog gets run over right in front of them and they scream and that's the end of the movie. And I mean, in a way, I would love to see a horror movie where that is literally all that happens, but I think people would riot even worse for that. So after 2007, which is when Hustle Part 2 came out, Eli Roth kind of branched himself out, became more of a producer, started acting in movies. Like, for example, he was in Inglourious Basterds as the Bear Jew, and he actually directed the movie within a movie in that Nation's Pride, if I remember correctly, the Daniel Brühl-led propaganda movie that the Nazis are showing in the movie theater. Aside from that, you know, there was a lot of starts and stops for different things. The only thing that I could think of that he actually directed was a short, a wonderful short, actually, for the movie Grindhouse, where he did this trailer called Thanksgiving, which is basically a send-up of 1980s slasher movie trailers, and it is fucking wonderful. Like, if you just want to have an idea of what Eli Roth movies are like, you can watch this trailer, and it will give you a somewhat sanitized version of that. And I mean somewhat sanitized because there's still people getting decapitated, and if I remember correctly, someone fucks a turkey at one point in this trailer. Still, it's nowhere near as gruesome as some of his other movies. After this point, like I said, there was this big break, and eventually, Eli Roth went back to directing movies with one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite subgenres and of the cannibal movie, and that's The Green Inferno, which he shot in Chile in the with a Chilean crew. He shot this on location, and The Green Inferno, I think, is just interesting because this is basically like his hucksterism for this is on par with like William Castle, with Shameless self-promoters, wherein, you know, he talks about how like he found this tribe that hadn't had any contact with the outside world, and he kind of got them to, you know, be in this movie where we end up following this group of activists who want to save the rainforest, and on their way back, they're planning to sabotage, and they end up in the Amazon, and they end up getting eaten by the fucking people they were saving to begin with. In other words, you know, definitely a feel-good movie. The Green Inferno is just really nasty. It has just some great... like, I'm laughing just because it's so fucking ridiculous. Like, the way that they, like, just chop people up and treat them like there's a whole scene where, like, they're one of the guys is a bit fatter than the others, and they end up treating like a big giant pork and just popping his eyes out and eating them like they're fucking grapes and chopping it off his arms and legs and spitting him on a roast like a giant pig, like a lechon. And it's just ridiculous. We also have some really other nasty sequences of people getting tortured, and well, not so much tortured, but getting chopped up to pieces. And like, there's this one scene where they kind of keep everyone in pens, and you know, they feed them their friends, and one of the girls is really hungry and doesn't realize it until she notices that the bullet she's eating out of has a tattoo on it, her friend's tattoo. This movie, I really enjoy it, but once again, I'm going to give the caveat, like, with any any Eli Roth movie. They're pretty sick, and they are definitely not for everybody. And so that's it really for the straight up horror movies that Eli Roth has done. Eli Roth, like I said, he is someone that will show up all the time talking about horror and talking about stuff that he likes and talking about some really weird fucking horror movies. So he's actually, I love reading, like hearing his interviews just because I end up hearing about stuff that I'm not necessarily aware of or that that I am aware of, but not really. Movies like Pieces or Who Can Kill a Child, movies that we'll probably be talking about at some point over the next 31 days. The last movie I wanted to touch on briefly that Eli Roth directed is Knock Knock, which is a thriller that came out in 2015 starring Keanu Reeves, also starring Lorenza Izzo, who was in The Green Inferno, who actually is Eli Roth's wife, and Ana de Armas, who I think this is one of her first movies, at least here in the States. Ana de Armas, of course, who was in Knives Out in a breakout role and who was set to come out this year in the new James Bond movie alongside Daniel Craig once again. So if you want to see just a a younger Ana de Armas in a movie basically torturing Keanu Reeves because he cheated on his wife with her and Lorenza Izzo, check this out. This is more of a psychological thriller. There's plenty of fucked up shit in it. I mean, this is something more lines of something like Funny Games, where they're playing a quote unquote game with Keanu Reeves for his life, you know, and it turns out that these two women go around doing this with plenty of men and torturing them, married men. They basically show up at the door, seduce these, ask for help, end up seducing this man, sleep with them, and then kill them for betraying their families. So yeah, like I mean, this movie, it's fucking out there. Just maybe not as out there as like Hostel or The Green Inferno, and I guess in comparison to those, it's actually pretty tame. But yeah, like it's I think Eli Roth's movies are fun, and I think that he's indicative of kind of the schlockier, messier side of horror. And I mean, these aren't movies that are gonna win Oscars for their craft. They're well done. I'm not trying to shit on him as a director or anything like anything else. But I think that Eli Roth is a interesting voice in horror and definitely has brought something different and something new or something remixed from horror. So that's it for today. Thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow.